Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a few updates we need to get on, and then we'll get on to our guests. We've got so many things happening here. I don't even know where to start with this stuff, but all of our upcoming events, if you want to go to our website, you can go to the www.privateinvitationeseti.com. Again, that's www.privateinvitationeseti.com. For all the upcoming events, as far as the transpersonal release sessions available through October, none in November, and restart in December, because I'll be on the road and traveling. And tomorrow, Sunday, October 9th, I'm part of an online experiencers webinar. I'll be speaking at 12 noon, and you can check out, again, our website event for the registration link at ESETI, privateinvitationeseti.com. Wednesday, October 12th, Ashley continues her teleconference healing series at 5:30, and registration is now open. And Friday, October 14th, I'll be speaking at the Triad Theater in Yelm. And you know, check that out, our coming up at the ESETI page event. There's a website there for to link to tickets. And Michal Ledwith, a good friend of mine, will also be speaking there Saturday night. So I'll be there Friday night, and I'll be Saturday night. And that's the Triad Theater in Yelm, Washington. And while I'm in Yelm, the crew at ESETI is having a special volunteer weekend at the ranch. And this is a great opportunity to come to pitch in and help to get ESETI ready for winter. As appreciated, your contribution and support, we'll receive energy exchange credits that can be applied to self-mastery workshops and late October workshops in 2017. And you can check the website for details. We're practicing a new approach here. We're calling it Dharmageddon. So rather than going to Armageddon, we're going to be doing Dharmageddon. And the more we all work together in turning this planet around, we can bypass Armageddon. So anyway, that's something that came out of this last weekend at the workshops. But no, October 29th to November 2nd is the last workshop I'll present this year with the Return of the Self-Mastery and Making Contact workshop. Eddie said that I'll be co-presenting with Tashina, and she's right now living on the reservation, and she's very involved in Standing Rock as well, and we've been helping in that situation to kind of hopefully assist the nations there in putting an end to that pipeline, and that's a whole show in itself. But, you know, we don't need the gas and the oil and all the other stuff right now. We have the technology to transcend all of that, and I don't know why these draconian forces keep shoving that down our throats, but we'll do a whole show on that later on. And I'll be back in Detroit November 4th through the 6th for the Awaken and Power Expo. And again, check our email, www.privateinvitationeseti.com, to register for that event as well, or any other upcoming events. If you have any questions, you can go to eseti2016@gmail.com. And speaking of the Awaken and Power Expo, we've got the he's a spiritual teacher and founder of the Flower of Life Center for Human Evolution and the Awaken and Power Expo. And he's always had a feeling that he had a gift with energy from an early age, and through his adult years in business and financial world, he had an interest, an intense knowing that he could help other people, and never walked away from someone in need. Simultaneously, he walked the spiritual world, eventually becoming an accomplished astrologer and numerologist. His logical left-brain mindset left him very skeptical of his energetic healing ability. He had dismissed many unusual and profound healing experiences as coincidence until 1997, when a series of unmistakable events finally began to convince him. His belief was further confirmed upon meeting Barb Morey, a gifted aura reader whose abilities can be compared to those of the late Edgar Cayce. What she saw in his aura that day sent Ethan on a quest to better understand his gift through a series of experiments and study groups with his Flower of Life organization. Suddenly, many of the unusual life experiences he had lived made complete sense. So we've got Ethan Fox here on the online. Ethan, are you with us?
Yes, James, good to be back. We're getting to be regulars on each other's show, it seems.
yeah, welcome back. I know you've got the Awaken and Power Expo coming up here real soon, November 4th through the 6th, and we could cover that, or maybe before we get into that, if you got anything new and amazing on your plate. If you want to share that with the audience.
Well, we have lots of projects, of course. The expo is coming up in November, and we're going to have you and Winston back again. So that's, you know, we're looking forward to doing that. I just recently, you mentioned the energy transfer work that I do, and I just decided, for a long while, I've had a feeling that I needed to do this on a global scale, and as of last month, we launched a global event. So basically, doing a collective consciousness clearing of karmic energy and raising consciousness on a global scale, which is something that we just started initiating. So it's a once-a-month event that that we do globally, and I've worked as you've met Michaela Sheldon and other intuitives I work with very closely, and Barb Morey, who's the Aura reader, all I work very closely with to come to a decision to do this, that this is a time. And you were talking about how that we have an opportunity now to move in a new direction, and that this is a time to do that. Well, I felt the same call to do that in the recent months as well. And so as of September, or actually I think it was, it was September, we did our first global energy transfer event. And basically it is a collective karmic clearing of everyone on the planet who is actually ready to move forward in that way, although there are going to be a handful of people who are, you know, very stuck and maybe not willing to participate. But as a whole, we should see some very positive, dramatic results from this monthly event. So we have that, which we just started doing. And of course, we just launched our magazine recently, which I can't remember if you actually written anything for us yet, but we have a lot of expert writers for our magazine, and who we have on our expo stage as well, like Dr. Shock, who's going to be speaking about ancient civilizations coming up, and I think even Winston wrote an article that's coming up soon. So, so those are some of the projects that we have immediately, and we have some long-term ones too that we're about to launch. We're actually, you know, one of the problems that I find in the world, and I'm sure you have too, is that the media is working very much against the awakening of consciousness. And so this is an area where we as an organization have been putting more attention, and that we plan to do in the years ahead is to create an alternative media, another alternative media platform, but more of a higher consciousness than a lot of the other ones that are out there right now. And that's something that we have in the works that in the next 12 months or so, you should start seeing some of the results of that.
Great. You know, there's so much going on. I know this weekend we had a conference that was pretty, I'd say it was in the interesting category, because it just was a really different one than we're used to doing here. But boy, talk about clearing and healing work like all weekend long. And I think what we did is we opened up a lot of doors that ordinarily, you know, we really don't go there. But it was pretty intense. I mean, I had to go and just take Tuesday off and just sleep, basically, because I had nothing left. I couldn't even walk almost. But it is happening. You know, it's definitely, it seems like we're getting deeper and deeper into this muck, you know, cleaning it up. And now we're at the, I think we're getting to the last of the muck, and it looks like the I don't know, it just seems like the most negative, the deepest darkest stuff is now being uncovered and being seen for what it is, and it's on its way out.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, a lot of people talk about moving to a fifth dimensional consciousness, and yet we're, it appears that we're very much mired in the third dimensional consciousness, and which is being very much perpetuated. But I think a lot of people don't, and this is something I'm giving a talk Saturday morning at the expo that's going to be speaking directly to light workers, and we'll be talking a little about the transition from the third to the fifth dimension. And one of the things that, And of course, we have Adam Apollo back at our expo again, and he's going to be speaking specifically about a more updated talk. Did you see his talk last time?
Actually, he was just here at an event.
Oh, okay.
And
did he give that talk there?
Yeah, I imagine it's the same one. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. Basically, where he's talking about all the global developments that are in the three-dimensional world that are showing signs of moving forward. So,
yeah.
And I think that's where we need to focus our attention because from my vantage point anyway, and I don't know what your opinion is on this, but a fifth-dimensional consciousness is not really something we can very easily define with our third-dimensional mindset. And we're living in still somewhat of a third-dimensional world transitioning, and it's sort of like trying to explain to a fish what it's like to go into outer space because the language isn't there. And, you know, so a fish isn't going to understand. And if you're in the water with the fish swimming around, well, you don't even have the comprehension of what fifth, you know, what it's like to be in outer space. So the language isn't there. The understanding isn't there. The abilities aren't there. So we can't really, I think, fully explain a fifth dimensional consciousness from a third dimensional vantage point. But I think what we can already start to see, though, is that we're clearly moving into a fourth dimensional space and on the way to the fifth, because even ideas like manifestation, which were very intangible in a third dimensional world not that long ago. For example, if you want to buy a car in the third dimensional world, you have to go to a dealership and drive cars around, and then eventually you apply for a loan and you get a car. And now they are able to 3D print cars. And so we're moving into a world where you can order something from Amazon or order a car online and have it 3D print, you know, instantaneously. So it's where I think those are little signs. And even they're experimenting with using different kinds of, I forget what kind of products, but to produce edible items. So foods that can be 3D printed as well, which, of course, we know that in the more advanced technology that the global governments have, they are probably already replicating and such. But even in our everyday world, we're starting to see the signs of moving toward a future where instantaneous manifestation is becoming more real. And just the 3D printing concept is one of those signs. And I think in a fifth dimensional level, we'll be manifesting instantaneously. But part of the challenge, too, I think, is we can't have, you can't be given the kind of power to instantaneously manifest when you have so much karma and when you're so much in a third dimensional reality, because we as human beings as a whole still think a lot of negative thoughts, and we live in a world where there's a lot of negative types of experiences going on, and as a result, if we were to be able to manifest something instantaneously, who knows what kind of disasters we'd cause. So we really need to raise in consciousness on the way to that fifth dimensional level. But I think there's hope, and I think that's where we should put our attention, is events like what you're putting on and the work that we're doing and so many others in the world are a sign, or even a lot of the alternative media, either the birth of the internet happening during this time, are all signs of moving into a fourth dimensional consciousness on the way to the fifth. And I think once we get further into the fourth, then we'll be able to have the language and understanding to be able to even conceive of what the fifth dimension is. And I do have some ideas of what it'll probably look like, but again, it'd be hard to conceive of those things from here.
Yeah, I think there's two things. One, you know, the energy is escalating, and even NASA and everybody else is now putting out charts where, you know, the cosmic rays and the gamma rays and solar flares and everything that are hitting the planet are increasing this, and that's just on a physical level, you know, for us to understand. And then we've got all these other beings adding their consciousness into the collective that are already in the fifth, you know, all the way up to the 13th dimension that we've connected to. So you got that going on. So there is a gradual increase. And I think as the energy accelerates, people are going to have a chance to see exactly which thoughts they're holding that aren't in their highest and best good or in the highest and best good of humanity and the earth, because they're going to start manifesting, you know, quicker and quicker to the point where they get instantaneous. So hopefully it's a gradual process, because like you're saying, if we were thrown straight into the fifth dimension with instant manifestation would probably take us out on the planet, as well. But there's some interesting. One of the things I've been noticing too is that, and it keeps coming up for me, is that I keep getting the word impeccable integrity, and I know there's a lot of people. I'm not going to mention names or anything, but there's a lot of people in the field that are in the field just for, notoriety or financial reasons or things like that, or they're actually being, they also have other forces that they've tapped into that aren't in our highest and best good that are actually, they're just puppets for that program too. And it's so convoluted now. And in what I'm seeing right now, we're in the process of kind of vetting this out and seeing it for what it is. It's interesting because being in the business for so long, whatever you want to call it, the business or the field, watching this for so long and knowing the people personally and how they behave off the podium, you might say, is totally opposite of what they say on the podium. So I don't know if you've noticed that, but I'm just seeing that that it's starting to. This is all starting to surface. And what's sad is I've seen some really big money getting behind some of the top people in the field. And, they end up selling out to like Google and some of these other ones who are trying to create a new religion. They're trying to create the new religion and control the new religion. I'm wondering if you've seen some of that manifesting in your world over there.
Well, I do research a lot of people and for my show and whatnot, and so I'm very careful about who I have on the show because it's really hard nowadays to know those things. And I don't, but yes, I do see that going around, and a lot of people in alternative media have the same concerns. But it's hard to know though sometimes who's on which side anymore because of that. Yeah. And so what I try to do is I try to focus, and I don't think money is necessarily the only issue either, and I don't necessarily think money is by itself an issue. It's the attachment to any particular thing that's causing these problems, whether it's the attachment to power or the attachment to money, or which tends to create greed in people. But obviously we all have to have money to do the things that we do as well in the current reality that we live in, right? So... But yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that level of integrity to the mission that you are, and I think this really is what I try to do when I speak with people, is I try to encourage everyone I speak with to discover what their mission is in life. I think a lot of people pursue money or they pursue power. That's not really a mission. A mission is something that's meaningful, that's going to make an impact in the world. And I think even a lot of people I speak with, they think, well, I'm just one person. How can I make any kind of a difference? And but everybody can. You and I started out with nothing in the beginning, too, and started out on our own mission and stayed true to that mission and stayed focused. And as you get bigger in any particular field, there are always going to be those kinds of temptations to go in another direction. I'm seeing that. I'm not exactly sure if you have some sort of magic formula to figure out who's on what side. But if you figure that out, let me know so I can choose guests for my show appropriately in the future.
Well, you know what I've seen? It's just all about inner sensitivity. And for people to develop their own inner sensitivity, and some people have another word for that. They call it the BS meter, But I know people that are very clear, and right away they vet these people out. Almost as soon as they meet them, they know right away. And then as they, look into it more, it reveals itself. But I think basically what it all boils down to is self-empowerment. And the more we can get people to go within and make their own personal connection with, God, Creator, Spirit, whatever you want to call it, and develop those inner sensitivity programs. And, they end up with some of the gifts are like direct knowing and telepathy and things like that. When those things kick on, then the deception ends. And I think that's the only way that we're going to come, when we kick enough people on and get people to see, behind the veil, behind the curtain, these things are going to change. And that's what these expos are all about, to, you know, give people an alternative way of thinking, of looking at things, and, you know, alternative ways of healing. And I know you've been very instrumental in getting that information out, as we at ESETI as well.
Yeah, I don't claim that I have any superpowers in the way of intuitive gifts, but, and that's not really my area, but I do surround myself with a lot of very gifted people who, when I do have guests on my show, or even when we have presenters at our expo, we do go through a process where we check everyone energetically and their energy fields, and also have intuitive channel on all of them before we finalize our list of presenters. So that is a process we follow, which is kind of, you know, it's interesting because I come from, I think you probably know this already, but my former life is prior to 6 years ago, I lived a very left brain intellectual life. And so to be living in a world where I rely on people who have these amazing gifts and abilities to make decisions in the things that we do and who we choose to have on stage or represent our organization and such, it's kind of cool. I mean, it's a very interesting, fascinating world to live in. And I think a lot of people I speak with, they're very disconnected from that at this point, but I do see more and more moving in that direction, and more and more communities building, more and more spiritual communities building as we go forward. That's one thing that I see a lot. And really, we're now, although we can say we're moving into the age of Aquarius or in the age of Aquarius, I think really it'll be when the planet Pluto goes into Aquarius in the early 2020s that we'll really see the thrust forward into that age. And one of the things about Aquarius is communities, and we're already seeing the beginnings of different kinds of spiritual communities and sustainable communities springing up all over the world. They're a little bit disconnected at this point, but I think it's the start of something that's going to build up in momentum in the 2020s through 2040s when Pluto's in Aquarius. So I think that is something that is becoming more and more common, and I'm seeing so many people awakening these days and awakening to amazing gifts and abilities that they didn't even know that they had, and becoming contributing those gifts in the world in the way that they were meant to. And if more people would do that as we go forward, which I think they will, we will really move toward the fourth, the fifth dimension a lot quicker.
Yeah, I agree. It's you know, the old hundredth monkey thing, I guess. You know, enough people wash the potato, then pretty soon everybody's going to be doing it, and we seem to be going in that direction. The you know, I find interesting now the challenges that people have had. I know it's interesting here because I'll find there's weeks or days where energetically, you know, you're just getting hammered, and you're going, what is going on? You know, and we have to do a lot more clearing, you know, a lot more energy. And this place is like a vortex or a grid point, you know, that affects the whole planet. And it's like a giant light or beacon that goes up. So we have, it's like a moth coming to a flame. A lot of entities come here for clearing, not just physical people coming for healing, but the non-physical as well. And there's some weeks, like this last week was really rough for a lot of people. And I know when we're really busy and we have a lot of work to be doing, when I check into friends, you know, around the world, they're all having the same experience. So it does seem like there's a global shift or global trends or something going on that that there's, you know, there's waves of energy coming in that are, you know, pushing everything up to the surface. And then we're having to deal with it as a collective.
Yes, yeah, and I do see that too, especially with so many. And I'm, you know, you're very sensitive to energy and such, which is not an area that I am particularly gifted at this point. And so you, which is good, because the work I do is I bring, you know, I welcome the negative energy from other people to transmute it. So if I was as sensitive as you were, I probably would not be able to do what I do. But But because I'm surrounded by a lot of people like you who are very sensitive and very gifted in those ways, I'm really aware of all of the intensity of energy that people are going through right now, and the stress that they're feeling because of it. And so, yeah, it is a turbulent time. Now, I think we just had an eclipse. I think we had a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse in the last couple of months, and the particular alignments of those eclipses were such that they represented a karmic clearing. And so now, that doesn't mean that just on the day of the eclipse, but generally an eclipse, you'll start seeing the influence of it a few months before, and it'll generally continue until at least the next eclipse, which is coming up in February. And that particular eclipse, the alignments in that eclipse that just happened were very karmic in nature, meaning that for one thing, a lot of people are having to deal with their karmic blocks, and especially past life karma, karma related to difficult things that happened in their past. And as they're dealing with it and breaking through it, there's going to be a lot of heaviness and emotional turbulence. But the result of dealing with it is the eclipse that's coming up in February, which is very much different. It's almost like this window of time here between the one that just happened, or the eclipse that just occurred, and the one in February, is a relieving of collective karma and individual karma in order so that people can step into a more positive future and more in alignment with why they're here. So I think we're going to see, as we get closer to February, a lot of people are going to start awakening more than in the past. So an acceleration of awakening through a lot of very difficult experiences. So I've been noticing a lot of people around me are just going through some of the most difficult, life-changing experiences, and they're having a hard time staying focused and on track. But I think the important thing, and this is one of the things that I love about having studied astrology and numerology for so long, is that I have sort of a bit of a roadmap and a guide to what's happening now and where I'm going, so I can weather the storms with an understanding of what it means and what it represents, and sometimes it helps me to prepare for things that are upcoming. And so I think as a collective, we need to keep that in our awareness, especially those who are very sensitive and going through more difficulty right now, that we should see a lifting of that as we get near February and cross over that eclipse in February. That should be some sort of a threshold for most people, especially people who are light workers and who are here to be part of this movement toward a higher consciousness. I mean, there are, I don't know, maybe not that very many, but maybe 5-10% at most of us who are meant to move forward the rest of the collective consciousness. And those are the ones who tend to struggle the most during these times, because they're the ones who are going through the biggest awakenings. But I think we're going to see the whole collective do that at this time as well. It's just not to the same degree as those of us who are on this more conscious path.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah,
we had I was just sitting on a panel here with all these guys, and all of a sudden I got the message really clear, Dharmageddon, Dharmageddon. And I know my guys have a sense of humor, they're the higher dimensional beings, and I started laughing. Everybody goes, "What's so funny?" And I said, "Dharmageddon," and everybody just loved it. I go, we can avoid Armageddon, which is just the great uncovering, where everything's uncovered, by choosing Dharmageddon. And if we start, getting into Dharma and start working on service to others and service to the planet and helping others and focus our energy on that, we can kind of avoid a lot of this other stuff, because we're choosing a whole different direction, a whole different path. And and I was just saying, I think I might get a bumper sticker made and just call it Dharmageddon or Armageddon, it's a choice, or something like that. I think it would be great. But it just seems like the more we shift and move towards, the awakening healing process and being a part of that and assisting in that, the more help we get, And the more grace we get concerning our karma, and we can heal things a lot of times quickly and gracefully, or connect with other people that can help us heal it quickly and gracefully versus, you know, just getting it thrown in your face and getting hammered over the head with it.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect word for it, what's happening right now. And so I couldn't have come up with a better one. And hey, I bet if you did a bumper sticker, you'd probably sell a lot of them right now.
Yeah. Going back to money, you know, I'm not against money. It's just money to me is just, it's just energy. It's how it's used. And if you have to sell out your, you know, your integrity or your mission or whatever, or get diverted because of money, then we have to make that choice. Is the money worth it? You know, is the notoriety worth it? Are you going to stand in your own divinity and stand in your mission? And I've been tested on that equation many times, and I've refused, you know, funding and things like that, just because of the source and just because of the strings attached to it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding about money, and it's especially spiritually minded people, because I went through the same thing early on in my life. I had this perception that I should be able to do whatever it is I do in the world without having to deal with money, but then at the same time, what I was doing needed money. So I think that when we, especially those of us who are more spiritually minded, we tend to think that having money means a negative thing or it's an attachment to money. But what we don't often realize, that I came to realize later on in my journey, was that the lack of money and the fear of not having enough is also an attachment to money. So
yeah,
it's sort of, you know, money I see as air. So those of us who are alive and breathing air, we're not sitting here thinking, well, I better hold my breath because maybe the next breath of air isn't going to be there, or James is over there and he's breathing the air in the same room as me, and so I better stop him because what if he breathes all the air in the room and I don't have any, you know? So this is how this is how we treat money. We treat money as if we have to hold our breath because there isn't going to be more, or that other person over there may inhale more air than me and I've got to stop them from doing it. And whereas if we just simply allowed the air to exist and breathe it in and out as we need it to do whatever it is we came here to do, it would just be an energy that's present in our experience. It doesn't matter if it's printed on little sheets of paper or it's completely intangible. Like nowadays, most money is electronic, so it's completely intangible. It's just as intangible as air. And so I think we need to shift our perspective on that, because there are so many people who are, even on the spiritual side of things, who are just as attached to money as people who are out there with billions of dollars and not doing very good things with it for the world and, you know, the rest of the population of the world. So both sides is an attachment to money. The middle, where we just simply allow it to be there to do what we need to do, is the best place to be. I mean, even in a situation like yours, or even what we're doing as an organization, we need a lot of money to do what we do in the world. And so you can't exist in this world. No different than if I decided to hold my breath right now because I don't want to take in too much air. If we decided we're going to not earn money, then that also means that we're not going to do very much in the world for very long. So yeah. I think that's the problem, is this misconception and misunderstanding that it's no fault of all of us. It's really something that's been created through the media and through our governments and perpetuated through our psychological conditioning, that money plays this role. But it's simply just the air that we need to breathe, and some of us, we're restricting that, and by restricting that, we're restricting our own vitality and our own ability to do big things in the world. So, I'd really like to help to neutralize that understanding with people, so that none of us, or at least as many of us as possible don't have that attachment. And I do think that's going to happen as we move into the fourth dimension. Money, and as you know, and I'd love to hear what's going on since we spoke last, and of course I'll have you on my show soon and we can get more in depth into that. But I mean, as you know, and I've also spoken with Winston as well and others, that we are moving into a world where we at least are moving toward a different kind of economic system that's not going to be so restricting without all the taxes, so that we can go fight wars that none of us want to fight and things like that. And so we are at least starting to see the beginnings of a transition to a world where that's a little bit more more fair as far as how people are treated with money. And I think it's a sign that that consciousness around money and that attachment is starting to shift, and that, you know, your Dharmageddon concept is manifesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's that would be a whole show in itself. But there is some really good news. I tell you what's happening here on one level. I can't really say too much, but a lot of the key people on the highest levels that are in this global shift and moving the gold and the money and the global reset and everything else have actually come to the ranch. And a lot of that was due to Winston's connections and things like that. And we did a lot of clearing on that, you know, to move things forward. And what's interesting, as soon as we moved everything forward and did the, well, we did the clearings, everything just, it was like pulling cogs out of the wheel. And all of a sudden everything just started moving really fast, really quickly. And then it hit another cog and they'd call us up and then we'd do another one and then another one. And it's funny, some of the generals know about this. They're very aware of this and they're stepping up to the plate now. And you can see all the shakeups in Wells Fargo and all these other things are a direct result of that in some of these other banks. But they're cleaning up the system and clearing out the people that have blocked this from happening. And everything's pretty much set. It was just set as far as, I think it was last week, and this week things are going to start moving very quickly because everything's back where it should be, and the money that was diverted and taken is back where it's supposed to be. So it's really interesting how this is all unfolding. It's a multidimensional thing that's happening right now, and we're getting a lot of help on the higher levels, as well as some of the generals that are still walking in honor and integrity are standing up and saying, enough's enough, you know. So it's going to be real interesting how it unfolds, and we'll do a show on that, or be good to get Winston on that, because he's, Winston Shroud's very involved in that as well. But, you know, I kind of didn't want to talk about it too much until everything was in place and it was done, and now it's there, and now it's in place. But I would hear all these people saying, it's done, the Republic's restored, and your check's in the mail, and the global reset's done, and everything else. And I kept going, nope, not yet, not yet. It's not done yet, you know. And so, but now it's finally completed. And so I think it's going to start moving really quick.
So when you say things are going to happen in the next week, can you be more specific about what it is that's happening in this week?
Well, the global, the reset, all that stuff, the dinar, people are going to start, you know, cashing in on the Zims and the dinars, and all that stuff is going to be happening here real soon, because everything is where it should be now. And so what happened is a lot of the funds that were going to fund all that, and the banks needed this to happen so they could stay afloat, because they were all going to, that October surprise was the whole banking system collapsing. And so this had to happen. It had to come through, and it finally did. And they needed to stay alive. I mean, all these other agencies needed it to stay alive. And so now there's stipulations, though, to this money. And one is that the New Republic is restored. Two, that the people that have been siphoning off the money are out of the picture, you know. And that's basically what's – there's just – We're in the process now where there are going to be a lot of arrests and a lot of house cleaning going on, and the funds are going to start flowing again, because we've been held hostage for so long. This gross uneven dispersal of wealth is just by just a few families that have been doing this, and so, you know, the rest of the world has said enough, you know. And you know, the yuan went went into the IMF and they're accepting it as the new global dollar, you know, the I can't remember the name of it, but I don't know the exact details. Like, I get these emails with all these letters in them, you know, the GRN, the CRV is done, and the RW2 is, you know, and I'm just going, what the hell are they talking about, you know? So I'm not really that involved in the detailed stuff of that, of how it's working out. I know the overall picture. I've been more involved in clearing the energy around the blocks that were keeping it from happening. But I know from the people I've been talking to at the highest level, and the people in charge of this shift and these the energies and the monies and where they're going and everything, are all jumping up and down for joy because everything's in place.
So what's happened? Is there anything happening with the U.S. Treasury and the currency shift that was supposed to occur there? Do you have any updated timeline on that?
Yeah, it's in the works, and it should be happening here really soon, very soon. I'm not sure what the date. I know the banks have the money. They have the bills, and they're ready to do the shift. If it hasn't already started, there's some people that actually have said they've got the new money. You know, they've already gotten the new dollars that are coming out that they've printed. So it'll be interesting. I always said, you know, when you go to the ATM and you pull out the money and it's changed, it's different, and it's a Treasury note, not a Federal Reserve note, that's when you know that everything's completed, you know, and things are done. And I think we're very, very close to that happening, if it isn't already happening.
Yeah, the timing of it would make sense anyway, and from an astrological standpoint, that this could potentially happen in this window of time. So, and I think it has to happen. I mean, definitely it has to happen sometime between now and 2040 because of the whole Pluto and Aquarius event that's occurring. But I think we're starting to see the beginnings of some pretty dramatic changes happening in the world. And even the more tangible things, as I mentioned earlier, like 3D printing or cars that drive themselves or things like that. So I do think that could potentially happen. So I'm obviously looking forward to seeing that. And last time I had Winston on my show, he talked about that being just around the corner. So I was just wondering about the timeline.
Yeah, it just took a little longer because they had to really vet out some people, and the generals had to step forward, which they have finally. So now it's going to be a domino effect. It's happening very, you know, very quickly now. And I don't know the exact date of when it's going to happen, but I know the right people are in control of the funds, and they're in control of the banks that are going to be dispersing the funds, and all of that's in place right now. And I don't think there's any way it can be stopped, and very soon the people that have been stopping this and have been, creating mass wealth at the expense of humanity, the earth, are going to have their day. You know, they're gonna experience their karma and however that comes to them. So if it's with a general and a group of people coming up and arresting them, or however else that's gonna manifest, that's I don't know the details on that one.
So what are you covering at our expo this November, these subjects or something different?
A little bit of that, like global liberation. I'll be talking about the whole, you know, who's who behind the global liberation, the many dimensions to it, the whole enchilada about what's happening. It's like a lot of people are just caught up in the body, the personality, and the material world that they're in right now, not realizing that all of that comes from another level up. So everything in this reality is manifesting from, the next level up. And so those levels are being cleaned up, and it's going to make it easier to manifest here in the physical, you know, basically heaven on earth. And that's where we're headed towards, but we've got to clean up the garbage in between, you might say.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing a workshop as well.
Yeah, and that'll be, you know, connecting with these beings, working with these beings, and you know, making your own contact and like who's who and how to discern who you're working with, and also how to clear unseen negative influences, which is a real biggie right now, because a lot of the problems we're experiencing right now aren't even physical. They're coming from unseen negative influences. And the more we learn to clear these energies, the easier our life becomes. And, you know, a lot of people are having emotional outbursts and feeling all kinds of sadness and anger and having multiple accidents and things like that. And a lot of that's due to these unseen negative influences, because they're affecting their mental and emotional bodies. And it's not their energy they're experiencing or their thoughts and emotions. It's actually coming from another level. So the more we understand that and learn how to clear that up, you know, the more love and joy and bliss we can have in our life, and abundance as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some really interesting presenters at the expo. Are there any that you are unfamiliar with? Have you looked at our schedule at all?
I am. You know, I'm looking at the schedule here. I know Eric Pearl. I know of his work. He's awesome. And you've got Michaela Sheldon, and she does some awesome work. Dr. George, is it Lamorex? I'm not sure.
George Lamoureux, yeah, he's a Chinese herbalist. He owns the, I think, the second largest Chinese herbal company in the United States. So he's quite quite well known in that field. So he'll be there giving a talk.
Yeah, was he there last year? Yeah, he was there
last year. No, last year we had Ramania Dean Thomas. He was giving a talk last year on Chinese herbs.
Okay.
But Dean follows traditional Chinese medicine, and George follows both classical and traditional. Classical is a little bit more ancient and has more of a spiritual base to it. But the formulations are essentially similar that they both use, although they have some slightly different combinations of things. But I found Chinese herbs to be very beneficial. It's something that I have in my daily routine for quite a long time. And there's just amazing breakthroughs happening there, too, because our modern technological abilities are enhancing our ability to extract the beneficial substances from Chinese herbs and so on. So, and there have been more and more clinical studies done on a lot of that. So anyway, George will be... they're speaking about that. We actually just added, were you there? I can't remember if we had you at our expo where we had Dixon's violin. Are you familiar with Dixon?
No, I'm not, actually.
Okay, well, that's something you want to catch. It's Friday night, and we have a Friday night entertainment event, and from, I think it's 7:30 or 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock, we have Dixon's violin. And Dixon is actually, I can't remember what he used to do, but I believe he had a corporate job not that long ago, and I discovered he had a gift with music, and he channels an energy through electric violin. And now we only had him once at our event, which was the event a year ago. And he's pretty well known internationally, but we'd never had him until then. And of course, our audience is highly conscious and a lot of them are highly sensitive. And they just had an amazing experience with him, not just the music itself, but the energy that's present in how he's doing it, which is very similar to, not quite the same, but Mark Romero, who you've met, has a gift with that as well. Now go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, we just added Rima Datta to our schedule for Friday night as well. She's a singer. She sings Sanskrit mantras and also teaches Kundalini yoga. So she'll be there doing an hour performance before Dixon, and so she'll be opening for Dixon, and then we'll have Dixon right after. So it should be a really intense spiritual experience through music, and I'll be doing an energy transfer event prior to that, so everyone should be buzzing out of their seats by the end of the night Friday. So that's pretty cool. And we have Dr. Robert Schock. Have you ever had him on your show?
No, I haven't, but looking at his bio, I'd love to have him on the show and see if his stuff jives with the information, my research that I've been doing.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy and very, you know, really nice guy too. And he's and his wife is an astrologer as well. So, but his background is in geology, and he became famous because of, I believe, because of the Sphinx itself, because he was able to date the Sphinx to much older than conventional archaeology believed it was because of the water erosion and so on. So he's going to be talking about the age of the different ancient civilizations at the expo. So that should be a fascinating talk. And of course, as you mentioned, Dr. Eric Pearl, who's really known in the healing circles, and I can't remember. Oh, of course, Adam Apollo's there doing the same presentation, probably the same presentation he did for you guys. And he's been starting to make his rounds in a lot of these kind of events recently. And Barbara Lamb, you've had her out there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know Barbara. She has a great presentation.
Yeah.
You know,
she's going to be speaking about hybrids.
Yeah, yeah. Anya Lightheart is coming in. She sounds really interesting. I like she's working with the youth. Yeah, and
right. You know,
it'd be good to hear about. We're starting to work more with the youth here. It'd be good to connect with her and find out what she's up to.
Yeah, she actually is the coordinator for the youth program we put on here. Well, it's not just a local thing, but it's we have a virtual program as well with kids around the world who join, who are actually, some of these kids are incredibly gifted. And so we bring different guest speakers such as yourself to these kids to give them, you know, little instruction. And ultimately we're wanting to launch a year-round alternative school that's at a higher level of consciousness than even the ones that are out there now, because we're seeing a lot of really talented kids out there who really don't have the support system. And it's because in many cases their parents don't really know how to support them, because these kids are much more advanced than most of their parents are. And so we're trying to create a platform through our Conscious Youth Program, which Anya runs, so that these kids can have an after-school educational event and then eventually have a year-round school for that as well. And of course, you've probably met Barb, I'm sure, at the last expo. She's got an aura workshop there, and we've got Ken Chorley back, who's going to be doing a telekinesis, aerokinesis workshop, and then we also have Werner, who's brand new to our schedule. And some of these, I have a light worker program where I help gifted individuals to develop their talents and launch them out into the world, and Anya and Werner are part of that program. And Werner is actually talking about a new field that is called geopathology, and which takes into consideration what's going on and beneath the Earth's surface, and how that can affect a person's not only health, but psychology and also their consciousness and things like that. So many people who have serious health problems, often it may not be because they're eating the wrong things only, or it may not be those at all. It could be that their home is located on a geopathic stress zone. And so he helps people to remedy that. At the expo, he's going to be doing some interesting demonstrations, like where he's going to have some fruit juice and have people taste the fruit juice, and then he'll go around with a laser that he specifically tuned to certain frequencies, and he'll laser all of these little cups of juice, and the juice actually tastes better afterward and has a more complex flavor to it afterward. So he'll be doing some different demonstrations on stage to show how we can alter the vibration of things, so we're seeing this, and that's one of the interesting things I'm seeing, is we're seeing the emergence of some really fascinating alternative healing modalities that are not only Yeah, up to this point, a lot of these healing modalities were a little bit intangible, but we're starting to see things that we can actually prove in more three-dimensional, tangible ways as well. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the cool things that he's going to be doing also.
Right.
So
we have a lot of that here. We've been using a lot of the Harold Oldfield's technology, the PIP technology, and I'll be showing that at the expo, where they actually filmed some of our sessions, you know, for bringing in the higher dimensional beings. And each time a different group would come in, the energy would completely shift, the colors, everything. And you'd see the interaction with the people there, where their bodies would pixelate into light. And it's pretty amazing technology. So we'll be showing that as well.
Fascinating. And you said you just did a workshop or a conference. Was that yours at ESETI, or was that somewhere
what
else that you spoke?
What happened is Laura Eisenhower. It was a Laura Eisenhower weekend, and she decided to bring a bunch of other friends as well. So there ended up being about five speakers here, and it was like a kind of a mini conference. And it was Adam Paula was there and a few others. And it was quite an interesting event, but quite a challenging event too, because for some reason this weekend we had a lot of, we had to do a lot of clearing, a lot of energy coming up. But I found out a lot of other people were having the same experiences. So what I noticed with a lot of these events, you know, you always have disruptors, you know, and you always have people that show up. I'm sure your conference, you know, will probably happen too. I don't want to create that, but it just comes with the territory. But you'll have certain people that come, and they're carrying things. They're carrying energies with them that come up to be healed. Or there's other energies, the unseen energies will try to come in and create problems and things like that. So it was really busy on that front, you know, and just getting people cleared up and getting people, you know, getting these other energies out of the way here.
Yeah, we have had to deal with that over the years. In fact, our first expo, we held in the downtown Detroit area at a conference center there, and we had Carrie Cassidy. I'm sure you know who she is, right?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, we had Carrie there and a number of other people, and in the middle of the night, my friend Barb, who's the aura reader, she looked out the hotel window and she saw spacecraft hovering over the conference center, and which was very, very fascinating. And we try at every expo to try to set up technologies and different kinds of things to clear the space and to create a certain vibration. And I'm sure it helps, but we still do have those kinds of situations where some people even are very unconscious of what they're carrying around with them and affect the people around them. And so, I mean, that's a new area that we've had to work around and figure out how to deal with those situations or clear those people beforehand and throughout the expo so that they don't affect anybody else. But yeah, that's how do you deal with those situations?
Well, we do those sessions, you know, that we do. We just sit down and find out who's here and how many we need to clear and bring in the higher dimensional beings and clear them out. Yeah, and, you know, I'd be glad to contribute to that at your event too as well. If people wanted to get together in the morning or whatever and just do a quick clearing session. I know things just go much easier that way, or participate in whatever approach, you know, ways that you use to clear the energy.
Yeah, that would be great. We can certainly use the help with that and have a better experience for everybody in general.
Yeah. We're hitting the end of the hour here. So before we go, I want to make sure that you give people the contact information. We have it on our website as well. What's the best way to get in contact with you with, you know, concerning all your different programs and the Awaken and Power Expo coming up?
Well, I'm easy to search online. You can just search my name, Ethan with two N's, Ethan Fox, and that'll bring up all the links to pretty much everything. So you can do that, or you can go to my website, ethanfox.com, or awakenempoweredexpo.com, or AAEEXPO.com for the expo, and that'll contain a lot of links. But if you search on YouTube for my name, or Awaken Part Expo or AAE TV. That'll bring up a lot of the previous shows that we had. And on our expo site, there's a magazine tab that has all the articles that we published so far. And very soon, we're going to expand the audience for that. So you're going to see our articles all over the place. But and all of our articles are in audio format as well. So if you want to listen to them while on the go, you can do that also. But we have lots of pages on social media. So if you go on Facebook and search for me or the expo or any of the other things that I mentioned during this call, that would be a easy way to find and get involved with our work as well.
Awesome. Hey, Ethan, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I know we could cover a lot more of this, but I'm looking forward to the expo and November 4th through the 6th, and it's going to be an awesome event.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right. All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening and stay in the heart and watch the skies. Things are happening. Good night. Hi, hi.